It's All Things Considered from NPR News. I'm Audie Cornish.
And I'm Melissa Block. We're hearing the opening chords of Edward Elgar's Cello Concerto. The British composer wrote the concerto in 1919, soon after the end of World War I, and it's suffused with the dark weight of that war. This is a new recording by the 30-year-old American cellist Elisa Weilerstein. She's playing with the Berlin Staatskapelle, conducted by Daniel Barenboim. And that in itself is noteworthy, because it was recordings by Barenboim's late wife, the cellist Jacqueline Dupré, that became virtually synonymous with the Elgar Concerto. For nearly four decades after Dupré's untimely death, Barenboim didn't perform the work with another female cellist. Now he has, with Elisa Weilerstein.
When I would describe Elgar's music, it's of course very deeply emotional, but it's also very English.
Very English, meaning?
Yeah, in that there is a kind of noble resolve and even reserve. However, what's unique to Elgar's music and what I really am drawn to is its deeply, deeply personal quality. And in this concerto, I think that's actually one of the biggest elements, is the personal reflection and tragedy and nostalgia, really longing for an era that would never return. I mean, it was the end of the First World War. It was the absolute end of the Edwardian era, and Elgar was quite afraid of what was coming.
Let's keep listening to the Adagio, the first movement.
This is interesting, what the theme which is now developed, but which starts in the violas. This is a really amazing story that about Elgar. When he was on his deathbed, he was speaking to a friend, and he said to him, you know, if you hear that theme from my concerto in the hills when you're walking, don't worry, it's only me.
Oh.
This kind of theme, I mean, you can imagine the rolling hills of the English countryside and somebody walking and whistling this tune, which doesn't end. It's a thread, and then comes to this incredibly devastating conclusion.
That huge scale.
Yes.
Up to what note?
Up to a very high E. It actually always gives me chills, this moment.
That's got to be an incredible feeling when you land on that final note.
Oh, yeah. Is it kind of being taken over by the full force of the orchestra right afterwards?
So. The piece shifts very dramatically in the second movement to sort of a perpetual motion.
Yeah.
What do you do to recalibrate yourself emotionally as you're playing this piece, from this dramatic sweeping tones of the first movement into this very frenetic pace of the second?
Well, in a way, We're very, very complex beings, and you know, we can come from this really, really somber, sort of devastating feeling, and then turn around and then be in a complete kind of fantasy world. That's really how I have to think when I'm playing the concerto. I mean, it like you said, it is a really kind of 180-degree shift. I kind of think of it like an alternate reality, let's say. It's full of whimsy and fantasy and dancing.
How fast can you go? Test the limits there.
Right.
You started playing the cello when you were very, very tiny. And
yes.
And I gather that this was a piece that you would play as a very young girl over and you would listen to over and over
yes.
and over.
Yes. Jacqueline Dupré she was my cello hero. And when I was a very little girl, when I could kind of barely play the cello, I was still very much in love with the cello. And I, in fact, tried to teach myself all these pieces that were much too advanced for me, including the Dvorak Concerto, Elgar Concerto, Saint-Saëns. These were my favorite pieces at the time. I think I listened to every bit of footage on Jacqueline Dupre until I was, before I was 10. Hmm. And so I began to learn the Elgar Concerto when I was 12. I began to learn it in earnest. And then I realized I'd have to put her recordings away, very sadly, because as much as I adore those recordings, I knew how huge her personality was. And this was something absolutely wonderful, but I wanted to find my own way with the piece. So I had to put them on the shelf. And I actually haven't heard those recordings for quite a while because I needed to develop my own relationship with the score.
The third movement is the Adagio. Let's take a listen to the start here. Lisa Weilerstein, talk a bit about the third movement of the Elgar Concerto that we're listening to now.
I think this is actually, it might be my favorite movement of the concerto. This is where you really, really look inside. And for me, actually, this movement is certainly about nostalgia, but it's also about love. And this part now, which we're hearing, if you remember, it comes back in the last movement, the very end of the last movement, and when it does, it's the most devastating thing you can imagine. It's just heartbreaking. And I think these qualities are really unique to Elgar. I don't hear this kind of almost nakedness in much other music that I can think of at all, actually.
Let's move on to the final movement of the Elgar Concerto. Do you have a favorite part of this last movement?
Probably right before the end, right before the very opening comes back. In this bit that you're playing now, he writes a kind of timing marking on almost every bar, and the retards, they kind of go over the bar lines, and then the a tempos, when you take the tempo back, in other words, they come back sometimes in the middle of the bars. So you never have a sharp corner. It's always, it's rising and falling, and you can imagine somebody really breathing or having difficulty breathing.
Oh. That breathing you're talking about?
Yes. He has his accents on each one. It's, these deep sighs. And very soon the third movement will come back. This is what I was talking about before.
So you've settled back into that theme?
Yes. But here it's, there is such a past now.
What do you mean?
The music has a past now. You're hearing it, after this massive last movement. And there, of course, is the opening, also with the past.
Do you find yourself approaching this theme very differently in the final movement than
yes,
you did in the first?
Exactly. And actually, this is something Barenboim talks about a lot. He says, well, when something returns, it has a past. So much has happened in between when you first heard the theme and when you hear it again.
Lisa Weilerstein, do you remember when you finished playing the Elgar Concerto in Berlin with Daniel Barenboim? You come to that conclusion and you look over at him. What was that moment? What happened?
am trying to put myself back in that place. Because, you know, when you're so immersed in the music, it's kind of like trying to remember a dream. In a way, at the very end of the piece, I kind of feel like, well, he's through with the world. So that's actually how I was feeling in the moment, even if that's not my normal way of thinking. But it was, I was very much a kind of in character, let's say.
Mm. Not a place you want to stay, probably.
No. It's actually one reason I'm reluctant to play encores after the Elgar.
Is that right?
Yeah. It's an emotion that needs to kind of clear. And I think it needs some silence to clear.
Well, Alisa Weilerstein, thank you so much.
You're very welcome. Thank you for having me on.
Alisa Weilerstein. Her new recording of the Elgar Cello Concerto is with the Berlin Staatskapelle, Daniel Barenboim conducting.